Blog Talk Radio.
Hi guys, this is Denise Bassi, Randy from All My Children.
Hey, this is Chriselle Stouse, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Aidan Turner on Stardish Radio.
This is Josh Duhon on Stardish Radio. Come listen to these lovely ladies for all the best soap secrets.
You presume I'm weak, you presume I'm frail, but your perceptions won't prevail. I'm made more than what you see. Hi, this is Kimberly Locke, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hey, I'm Eden Regal on Stardish. Thank you so much for listening.
Lovely Eden Regal and the theme song to her Imaginary Bitches webisodes. Love that. Can't wait till she starts on her season two. Welcome, everybody, back to Stardish Radio. Today is June 30th, 2009. I'm your host, Joanne. The number here is 347-945-5423. Don't be bashful. Call in and chat it up with me. My guest tonight is best known for his role as Nikki Reed Newman's gynecologist husband, who was shot down by his psychotic ex-wife, who was posing as their mousy maid on The Young and the Restless. What a soap opera intro is that. My terrific guest tonight has largely stepped away from the camera hog Hollywood scene to indulge his interest as both a producer and writer. His latest book, just out, is called Can I See Your ID, Son? And he has come by the show tonight to tell us all about it. So please give a warm Stardish welcome to the stunning and handsome as hell, Heath Kazire. Welcome, Heath.
Thank you so much. That was quite an intro.
You're welcome. Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Heath Kazire, exactly.
Okay. I've heard people say it other ways, and I was guilty of that. So I just wanted to make sure I said it correctly.
Absolutely.
I'm known to butcher a name or two.
Everything with that name, so...
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Well, I have to say, wonderful Tommy sent me a copy of Can I See Your ID, Son? And, oh, my God, it's like on my edge, on the edge of my seat reading for me. I'm not a big reader. I'm not. But this is so real and so relatable. I can honestly see this being a lifetime miniseries.
Well, thank you.
I mean, I'm not even finished with it, but I'm, oh, let's see. Thanks to our lovely postal system, I got it too late to be finished with it, but I'm almost, where am I? I'm page 63, but I'm in love with this book.
Well,
I mean,
thank you. I sure just had an absolute blast writing this one.
Well, I'm
so outside of my what I have been writing, which is kind of thriller and adventure, and so this was a real departure from what I've been doing here in the last few years.
Okay, so how difficult? This is a memoir. So tell my listeners what this book is about. It's a memoir. So give them a little synopsis of it.
Well, essentially, it's a coming of age.
Mm-hmm.
It covers really from the time when I was just a little boy and homeless in Colorado to the final chapters are when I was on YNR.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about 25 years of some pretty serious adventure. I led a fairly odd life, and the adventures sort of the adventures in there are wide and varying.
Mm-hmm.
So sort of from the poverty life, but of course as a kid you don't see it that way. You just see it. I saw it as an absolute just joy.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm living in the big outdoors of Colorado, living in the mountains, and
right.
And I'm sure I'd probably see that differently now, 40 years later. But
right. But I mean, starting off in the beginning of the book, it's almost as if I was put back in time of. I would even say Little House on the Prairie times, from the way that you described everything, you know? I mean, it was so not what you would picture those years to be in the 60s and 70s, you know what I mean? Because it was a definitely different way of life out in Colorado and South Dakota and stuff like that compared to, like, where I grew up in New York. I would never even imagine those things existed or that type of stuff existed. So to me, it put me back into a time of Little House on the Prairie.
1970s rural America was a completely different world.
Right.
Compared to, I've been in L.A. now for 25 years, and I can't imagine some of the stuff that we did as kids happening here. It just would not happen. You are exactly right. It's a completely different world.
Mm-hmm.
And to delve into it is... It's interesting. I mean, when I started delving into it, I was kind of shocked.
Right.
Because I've been doing journals forever and ever and ever, and so I started, and you never really read them. So I went back and I started reading these things, and like, well, that's kind of an interesting story. And some of these stories are, you know, ones that I've told at parties and whatnot over the years, and they've always been attractive to people because
mm-hmm.
they are so different.
Right. They're so out of the norm of what most people, you know, grew up like and or had seen. Like I said, I mean, I felt like I was going through a little mini-series, and I can't wait to finish the rest. I'm not going to go to bed tonight until I finish the rest of this book. And I'm honest to God, I'm not a reader. I'm really not. And I can't put it down. I've taken it with me everywhere since I got it yesterday afternoon in the mail.
Well, thank you. I'm excited for you to read it.
Oh, I can't wait to finish it. Tell me about your other books, Dog Walker and Urban Healer. These are a little bit more Stephen King-ish, maybe?
Exactly. Exactly. Stephen King meets Robert Ludlum-esque. The first one, Dog Walker, that was my first book, and it's a real adventure thriller. Both of the books have a lot of... mystical quality is not the correct word, but it's in that realm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got.
And what led you to start this? I mean, I didn't watch Young and the Restless back in the day, so I can't even get into your character on that. I know it was a popular character, but from Young and the Restless, once you were killed off that show, what happened from there that made you get into what you're doing now?
Before I left the show, I was writing. I was doing some script work, and so I...
Hello?
I was already writing. And
okay, I seem to have lost my guest.
Uh-oh.
Hang on, people. He'll be right back, I'm sure. I don't
Are
know where
there?
He went.
Are you there?
Are you there, Joanne?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what happened. Let's see. I can't hear him. He's not there. Okay. I seem to have lost him, but I'm sure he'll call right back, so don't go nowhere. The name of his book is Can I See Your ID, Son? And I'm telling you right now, it is gripping reading. I mean, because it's a true story. This is like the story of his life, basically. And you wouldn't believe half the things that you read existed, you know, in the 60s and 70s, in that day and time. It's pretty awesome. Go check out his website, Heath. I'm putting it in the chat room for all to see. And it's also up on the Stardish page. And I'm sure we'll get him back on here any second. I know he was fading in and out. The guy was saying in the chat room, couldn't really hear him. So hopefully we'll get him back on now. No, not yet. I'm waiting. I want to read a little excerpt from the book while I have it, which I loved. The Parent Triangle. For parents with kids, there should be a mandatory step program before being allowed to divorce. Just as you have to go through the priest counseling before a wedding, you should also be forced to learn and abide by a universal set of divorce rules. Rule number one, children shall not be used as human shields. Rule number two, children shall not be used in mind control experiments. Rule number three, neither parent's name shall be used in vain. Rule number four, children shall take priority over all, no matter what. Rule number five, best efforts shall be made to unite children and parents. Rule number six, parents shall live their lives as if they do indeed have children. So that was one of the excerpts from his book, and I found it so interesting. Among the rest of it, it's really a good, good read. So I urge you to go ahead and check that out. Still not getting him back. I don't know what's going on. But the book is available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. And I urge you all to go ahead and pick it up. I'm going to see if I can get my guest back on the line, and just bear with me 1 minute. I'm going to play a little music so you're not bored, okay? Be right back. Guys, I got my guest back, Heath.
Oh, my goodness, what happened?
I have no idea. I was talking, and all of a sudden I'm like, hello? Hello? hello?
Well, I'm sorry about that to everyone.
No, that's okay. You were drifting. Your voice is getting a little lower, so I said, oh, maybe it's a bad connection because it is raining up here. So, it could be anything. That's the joy of live radio. That's all I could say. But during that time, I actually read a little passage from the book, which I really loved, was The Parent Triangle.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that is just amazing. I mean, every parent should have that tattooed on their ass when they get married and have children.
Isn't it true?
Yeah.
The things that parents do and end up doing to the, you know, to themselves is their own business. But when there's kids around, it's just, you know, it's got to be about the kids.
Exactly. And so many kids get caught in the crossfire.
Yeah.
And, you know, the sad thing is that the parent that you end up with that may not be telling you the whole truth, you know, then you got the one over there on the other side that's living their life as if, you know, they never had kids and it's like a guest for the weekend. It's a sad situation. And, yeah, they give licenses to fish. They need to give license for people to be parents also. So.
At least cover the 45 hours of classes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, exactly.
Doing any other job.
Exactly. I completely agree with you. I mean, I have to say I was lucky to have both my parents around, not to say that it was the best all the time, but they were there. But I'm a single mom, and I have my two boys, and I don't, you know, I abide by those rules. Because I completely believe in them. I would never, regardless of what the situation is, I would never, ever, ever badmouth anybody because when my kids get old enough, they can make their decisions on their own. They don't need my coaching.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I see it. But so take me back how you left Young and the Restless and got into, you had the journals and you started writing. Tell me about how you, like, why did you get out of acting? Well, let's start with that.
Well, I got off The Young and the Restless. I was shot off.
Yes.
So to speak. And I dinked around with it for a while longer. And ultimately, I had been doing it since I was 17. I got out here when I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
And it truly is the world's hardest job. And it's the hardest on the soul and the psyche, and you are so often, there's so much rejection to it. And I think after a while, I just grew up just a little bit and just realized that was hurting me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I needed to break away from it. And meanwhile, I had been writing during my time on Y&R.
Right.
And been doing some script work, and I literally sitting in a desert deciding what I was going to do with my life, and
mm-hmm.
I had an epiphany. I need to write a book.
Right.
And literally sitting there over about 4 hours, just had a notebook with me and came up with a premise and a character. And so that was the start of the first book, which again is adventure thriller, and it has a lot of sort of Indian influence and material that I was brought up with.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the birth of that. And then I realized that I just absolutely loved it.
Right.
To be, I could use all of my same acting skills, but it was all here. It was just me with my notebook and my computer, and I could live out every character in my book, and I could take them to every angle that I could possibly want to take them, and I can edit it, and I can make it perfect, and I can do all that without anybody watching over my shoulder, and I had the control.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a bit, which was a bit what the acting lacked. You really don't have any control as an actor.
Right.
Well,
I was reading that you're also an acting coach.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you have workshops set up?
I did a couple years back. I haven't done it now for a little while, but absolutely love taking. I learned from a couple of really great men, actor coaches. And they allowed me to take, you know, their material and go out and do it around the country. And I truly love teaching. I'm kind sorry that I haven't pursued that further.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's never too late. It is. It's never too late. I mean, you can do this till the day that the good Lord takes you. You know, I mean, you've got all the time in the world. And I mean, it just as much as I read in this book, Can I See Your ID, Son? I'm really inspired by it. I mean, we're not far off from age, but you've been through more in your life than probably most people three times your age would have been, you know, and it's such an inspiring story. So there's no reason that you can't go on to continue and teach, none whatsoever.
Right. Well, heavens knows that I had a lot of jobs out there.
Oh, my God, I know. You killed me that you were 13 and passing yourself off for 21. I'm dying. When I read that, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I look at my kid when he was 13. I'm looking at a picture. I was like, there's no way he passed for 21. But it was such a different time. And it's just, I really do see this as a lifetime movie. I swear I do. You guys need to get on that.
I will.
I'm serious. This would be really like one of those. I heard somebody talking about how the old miniseries, remember how ABC used to air the miniseries, the Thornbirds, and I could see this as a miniseries.
All right. Well, from your mouth.
Right? Gosh, well, I mean, you got people behind you. Get Tommy on it. Tell him I said, get moving.
There we go. Well, I am definitely doing that with the other books right now, getting them into script form and doing that. So
what's next for you?
Pardon me?
Any other books in the works?
I am working on a couple of things right now. One of them is turning my last book, Urban Healer, into a film project.
Mm-hmm.
The new book is it's a really big book, so I don't know.
Okay.
I've been messing around with that one for a couple of years and just now starting to get ready to really sit down and do it. That's kind of how my mind works, is I just dwell on it and I dream in full story. So that's really great. So anytime I get myself if I write myself into a hole, I just kind of go to bed for a couple of days and all of a sudden I dream my way out of it, which is really neat.
Well, let me ask you, with Urban Healer, with all of these vampire things that are coming out now, and these types of things, werewolves and stuff like that, do you think that this would be the time now to pitch that? Don't you think like something like this would be the time to pitch that type of book? Because it seems to me like all of these, you know, mythological beings are like the hottest things on the forefront right now.
It really is the perfect time. I pitched it a little bit back when it came out. That one came out in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a little too broad. But now you've got all of these prime time, and you've got Lost, and you've got, they all have mystical influences.
Oh, absolutely. You got Twilight, you got True Blood. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen True Blood or Twilight, but I mean, they're both great. You know, I mean, I love the series on HBO, True Blood, and those things are things I would have never watched before. But if you make them interesting enough, people are going to flock to them, especially since there's such a demand for them now. It just seems like it's like the new thing.
I actually have the manuscript right here in front of me, and I'm going through making notes right now to get that one into script form and get it out there. So that is definitely on the plate right now.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because I would definitely be interested in getting to know more about that. I'm actually going to get the other two books now because you've turned me into a reader there, dare I say.
Oh, say it isn't so.
I'm serious. I could never get into reading. I swear I could never. I did a big interview with Taylor Lautner from Twilight, and they wanted me to go through and read those books, and I couldn't. I mean, I was literally, like, cringing my eyes out. I couldn't read them. But I loved the movie, but I couldn't read the books. But this stuff I can read. This is something that I could sit down and read.
Well, the good thing about it is they're pretty short chapters, and they're all pretty varying. And you're up to page 70-ish, and it's all pretty varying, and all of it leads into the next, but it's a different, each is a different story. story. So it's,
right. Well, it's very relatable to some extent with some experiences as far as the home situation. Definitely not camping out in a tent. I mean, I grew up in Yonkers, New York. We didn't camp in tents, you know, but there was plenty of other things that I could relate to in this book, and I can't wait to read the rest of it. And I am definitely going to go get the other two books, and I urge you guys to keep me updated to what's going on. So I posted for you guys in the chat room and those that are listening live a link to Heath's website, and you can purchase Can I See Your ID Son on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. Where else can we get it? In mid-July maybe out in bookstores?
Exactly. It's making its way to the brick and mortar right now. So.
Okay. Will you be doing any book signings or book tours?
I will be, and we're in the process of getting that all set up, so that'll all be on the website. Website is heathkazire.com.
Perfect. Well, I can't say that. I can say that it's just definitely been a pleasure to have you here, and I can't wait to finish reading this book. And I'm actually going to give it to my 16-year-old when I'm done with it, and have him read it. This is going to be part of his summer reading series that he has to do. He doesn't know it yet, but I'm going to give it to him. Because I think it will do him some good.
Well, thank you so much. It's good to get into, you know, it was fun to get into the young Heath's brain.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of all the ego and everything that comes with growing and getting older, and you have to have your pretense and all that, and it was so much fun to get into.
Right.
Brain of the young boy.
Right, right.
And, you know, we're all kind of that young boy. I'm still that young boy.
Mm-hmm.
Deep down. And so it was just fun to really look at it from a different perspective, and because I was just a serious little boy, but when I was writing it, I was writing it from a different perspective, and it was just so...
Right.
So much fun.
Right. Did you get a lot of flack from your family for writing it?
None whatsoever.
Good.
In fact, the only reason that it's published is I wrote this back in 2004, 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason it's published, because I really didn't intend it to be published, I was just writing.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent it out to some family and friends. And the only reason it's published now is that my sister kept calling me about every 6 weeks. So what are you doing with ID? Nothing. Well, you got to do something with it. So I finally sent it to my publisher, and I said, well, you know, this is not what I normally do, but what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, absolutely, let's do it.
Well, you know what? Thank her for me for pushing you to do it, because it's a fantastic read, and everyone needs to get out there and get this book. Right now you get it on the web, BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, and it'll be out in stores mid-July. Keep going back to Heath's website, which I posted, HeathKazire.com, to find out when and where his book tours will be, and get your tales out there and support the man, because it's great.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Heath, thank you so much for coming on tonight, and definitely keep me posted on what's going on with you and your writing and your career.
I absolutely will, and thanks for having me, and hope we can talk again.
Absolutely. I can't wait. Thanks to Heath Kizia, I'm stuttering now. Thanks to Heath Kizia for coming on the show, and don't forget, you guys, come back and join me on the 2nd of July for comedian Paul Ryan will be with me. Then I'll be taking a week off for some much-needed family vacation time before summer school hits. And we'll be back after the following week in July. So check the website for daily updates and guest updates. And to all, have a great night. Heath, thanks again. And everyone in the chat room, have a great night. Talk to you all soon.
Bye-bye.
And I'll call you.
This is Forbes Demarais, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
This is Brandon Buddy on Stardish Radio. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody, this is Kristen Alderson, and I am on Stardish Radio, the coolest radio station ever.
Hi, this is David Fumero, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
Hi, this is Melissa Fumero on Stardish Radio.